stand in respect for the Holy Scriptures, I will read it to you. It's quite a story. And Esau hated Jacob. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob." So after his father, he mourns for his father, he's going to slay his brother. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, "Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, proposing to kill thee." That's quite a family. One twin brother wants to kill the other twin brother. "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day?" And Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me?" Unquote. What a statement. You may be stated. This is the story of an incident in the lives of two twin brothers, Jacob and Esau, and their father Isaac and their mother Rebekah. You might have picked up in the story we read that each parent loved one of their twin boys the best. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah, the mother, loved Jacob. They were not identical, for Esau was hairy and red at his birth. The scripture is Genesis 25:25. "And the first," that's the eldest, "came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau." There were many important differences between the two twin brothers. Here's a few of them. Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Esau, as mentioned before, was a hairy man. Jacob was a smooth man, had little hair. When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith and Basemath, two Hittite women. They were Canaanite. Jacob was, at this time, unmarried. Esau, being the eldest son, was the recipient of the birthright and the future blessing which was passed down from Abraham to Isaac, his son. Jacob the younger was not the owner of either the birthright or the blessing. But one day Esau despised his birthright. He was faint and thought that he was about to die, and said to his brother, "Feed me with some of this," not pottage, but red pottage. Red is very synonymous with Esau. "And bread, and I will sell you my birthright. For what good is it anyway?" So Esau sold his birthright to his younger twin brother, Jacob. He sold the birthright. So now, he still got the future blessing, but Jacob now has the birthright. Later, when Isaac was almost blind, he told his eldest son Esau to go and kill him some deer and fix some venison, and he would give him the blessing. His wife, Rebecca, overheard the conversation. And she told Jacob to disguise himself as Esau, and she would fix two goats as venison. Jacob was to enter his father's presence as Esau and gain his blessing. Jacob did so just before his brother returned from the field with his slain deer. You can read about that in Genesis, how that happened. When the mistake was found out, Esau, it says in Genesis 27:34, cried out with a great and exceedingly bitter cry. He asked his father for one minor blessing as he wept. It's Genesis 27:38. Jacob received the blessing given to him by his father. It goes like this. Behold, I have made Jacob thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given to Jacob for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained Jacob. But he said to Esau, he granted this one small blessing. Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword thou shalt live, and shalt serve thy brother, who of course was Jacob. But notice this last little part. And it shall come to pass, when thou, as Esau, shall have the dominion, that thou, Esau, shall break his, Jacob's, yoke from off thy, which would be Esau's, neck. So Esau was to have the dominion. But this is the reason that Esau hated Jacob and wanted to murder him. It was because of the blessing that his father gave them. But there was a major difference between the two brothers. Esau was disqualified from the covenant of God because he took as his wife two daughters of the Canaanites. Isaac told Jacob that if he would marry with his racial kindred, some things would happen to him. God Almighty would bless him. God would make him fruitful and multiply him. He would be a multitude of people. He would have the blessing of Abraham. His future seed would also have the blessing of Abraham. And his seed would inherit the land wherein God gave unto Abraham. When Esau saw what his father had done to Jacob, and that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, what did Esau do? Well, he went and married a daughter of Ishmael. After about 20 years, remember, Rebecca said a few days, but it was 20 years. Jacob returned to the land that he had left. He had two wives and 11 sons and one daughter, a host of cattle and sheep and goats, two handmaids and their children. And Esau came out to meet him. Jacob was terrified. Jacob actually wrestled with Almighty God, and his name was changed from Jacob to Israel at this time. Jacob pacified the anger of Esau with gifts of animals, so that when they met Esau, they, quote, ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept, unquote. There was peace between the two brothers and their families for a while. So Jacob journeyed to Succoth and Esau to Seir. But the story was just beginning. In today's world, question, is Esau being dominated by Jacob, or is Jacob being dominated by Esau? I think we can say the year is 2014. The world is under the control of Esau. Well, when did the change happen? For in 70 AD, the Esauites, also known as Edomites and Jews, were scattered in dispersion by the destruction of Jerusalem by the Roman armies. But Isaac's one blessing to Esau would come to pass. But I got another question. Why were the Edomites in Jerusalem when the Romans destroyed the city in 70 AD? The Edomites, or Jews, had become the king and the majority of Pharisees of the land. And just who were the people, the money changers, that Jesus Christ drove out of the temple grounds with a whip? It was the Edomite Jews. But how did Esau get in the position of dominance over Jacob? I will show you what a Jewish website says. It's www.jewishvirtuallibrary.org. It says, a divisive change in the relations between the two nations. What's the two nations? With Jacob and Esau. Took place in the days of John Hyrcanus at the end of the 2nd century BCE. Hyrcanus conquered the whole of Idumea, which is where the descendants of Esau lived, and undertook what? The forced conversion of its inhabitants to Judaism. Well, let's look at what Josephus writes in his book, Antiquities, book 8, chapter 9, 1b. Hyrcanus, who was the high priest of the kingdom of Judah, took also Dora and Marissa, cities of Idumea, descendants of Esau, Edom, and subdued all the Edomites, and permitted them to stay in that country if they would circumcise their genitals and make use of the law of the Jews, which is the house of Judah. And they were so desirous of living in the country of their forefathers that they submitted to the use of circumcision and the rest of the ways of Jewish living, the house of Judah. At which time, therefore, this befell them, that they were hereafter no other than Jews. There's also a footnote at the bottom of the page where this quote is taken from. The book of Josephus, page 279, that quotes Dio. Quote, that country is also called Judea, and the people Jews. And this name is given also to as many as embrace their religion, though of other nations, unquote. What? This is not the biblical definition, which is a genetic one. The 11 sons and 2 grandsons of Jacob Israel are the Israelites. They were eventually split into 2 separate and distinct kingdoms, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Jews is the house of Judah, but today it means exactly what Dio said it meant. It is made of all who, quote, embrace their religion, though they come from other nations. Thenceforth, the Idumeans become a section of the Jewish people, Idumea becoming one of the ordinary administrative districts of the Hasmonean state. It appears that the Hasmonean dynasty used some of the respected families of Idumea to establish its dominion in that country. So the Edomites became called for the first time Jews. Let's review. How did the children of Esau, Edom, become called Jews? How did they? It was the result of the house of Judah's inquisition. Hyrcanus, the high priest of the house of Judah, subdued Edom and put before them this question of forced conversion. They had two choices. They could be circumcised and accept the laws of God, and they'd become one of Judah, or they would be murdered. The majority of Edomites chose to circumcise their genitals and follow after the ways of their twin brother. But did that procedure put them in the covenant that their father had despised and counted as such a light thing? Esau had sold his birthright to Jacob. Esau couldn't ever get that birthright back. Why did Esau weep bitterly after he lost the blessing of his father? Esau couldn't ever get that blessing that he had missed. What difference had it made that Esau had married the forbidden Canaanites and Ishmaelite wives? Esau couldn't reverse this horrible mistake that he had made. The house of Judah had made a terrible, terrible mistake. They sinned. They were like the more modern Roman Catholic Church. They were of the false impression that the covenant was available to other people besides the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's really the beginning of the universalist movement. It was at least partly universal, for it included the people of Esau. My question is, why didn't the high priest read the verses that we read at the beginning of this article? Did Hyrcanus know these holy scriptures? The Bible was plain when it says that Esau sold his birthright and wept when he was not given the blessing by his father Isaac. It says that Esau despised the birthright. Well, this past week, I guess about Thursday, I received in the mail a special Richard Kelly Hoskins report. He sends them out about once a year now because he's quit doing it. It was titled, Jacob and Esau. I will read a little bit that I saw in that newsletter. Today, quote, today, certain mixed breed Edomites falsely call themselves Israel. Edomites are mixed breeds. God's word is absolute. It says that mixed breed mongrels shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Which makes the claim of certain of Esau's children being Israel an impossibility. John Hyrcanus' integration of Edomites into Jacob Israel was an unforgivable sin. Quote, a bastard. That's a mamzar, a mixed breed, or a mongrel, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. That's Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 2. The word forbids mixed breed Edomites to even enter the lands of our people for the following reason. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. It's Exodus 23:33. Oh, they shouldn't even be here. Big sin that we committed. This law of God has been pounded into his Saxon Israel people for thousands of years. When they heard the law, they excluded from Israel all the mixed mongrel multitude. That's Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 3, unquote. I just read you a part of the article that Richard Hoskins had written. I'm now going to talk to you about other inquisitions. Well, the year 1290, England expelled all the Edomites, that's the Jews, until 1650. Well, that's a long time. And that overlaps our history. In 1492, Spain had its Inquisition. In 1496, Portugal had their Inquisition. And France, Austria, Naples, Prussia, Italy, Bavaria, Hungary, Vienna, and others expelled the Jews, as did many other European cities and nations. Question is, why did they expel them? Why did all those nations and cities expel the Jews? Our ancestors lived there. Why did they expel them? The question also has to be, where did those who did not convert to Catholicism go? Now, they were called New Christians, but they're really New Catholics. Where did the new Catholics go? The three choices were for Jews to either one. They could stay Jewish and leave the country, or they could convert to Roman Catholicism, become one of the new Christians, or three, they could stay Jewish and refuse to leave the country and then be murdered. The Roman Catholics added an additional choice to the Edomites than the House of Judah did 1,800 years previous. The Roman Catholics added that the Jews could just leave their nation. The estimate is that 300,000 Jews left Spain in the year 1492. Where'd they go? That's a lot of people, 300,000 Jews. Many went to Turkey, where they were warmly received, and other places in northern Africa, and a few places in Europe where they were not expelled. One place where many Jews went after the expulsion in Spain was to Portugal. Why is that? Well, they bordered each other. But in 1496, 4 years after Spain's expulsion, Portugal had their own Inquisition. They gave the Jews the same three choices that their neighbor Spain gave. What would you choose? To leave? To convert to Catholicism? Or to stay and be killed? Well, tens of thousands converted to Catholicism. Well, only a few were expelled or murdered. See, the Jews now in the fake church, the Roman Catholic Church. Where did these Jews go? They couldn't go to England. How come? They were kicked out of England. They couldn't go to Spain. They were kicked out of Spain. Couldn't go to France, Germany, Austria, Hungary, parts of Italy. So where did they go? Well, where did they go? When the Jews were expelled from Portugal, many went to the same place that many pilgrims went after they were kicked out of England, the tolerant country of the Netherlands. What was happening at the world at this time? It was a few years before the Protestant Revolution. It was the new world was opening up. In fact, it was the very same day that the Jews were expelled from Spain that the expedition by Christopher Columbus left and sailed for, where was he going? India. But he found a vast new land on the way. North America, South America, Central America, and the West Indies. He landed in the West Indies. As a side note, have you ever wondered why America celebrates Columbus' voyage as being the voyage that discovered America when Columbus never set foot on any land that is now in the United States? Why do we celebrate that as being the day they founded America? And we sing as little children, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Christopher Columbus, whose real name was Cristobal Colon, discovery opened doors of opportunity for who? Jews, who were what? Expelled from Spain and Portugal. It caused Edom to gain dominance over Jacob. The blessing that he had received at the hand of his father, Isaac, finally came to pass. I believe that's the reason that we celebrate it. Now I'm going to show you where they went. Where did all these Jews go? The whole new world, the whole Western Hemisphere opened up. Well, there we have, you probably can't see it too well. There's Madeira, and there's the Azores there, Madeira and the Azores. Here is Spain, here's Portugal, here's Northern Africa. So it's a little bit south, Madeira is, and the Azores are directly across from Portugal. Madeira Island was rediscovered in 1418. After two Portuguese captains were driven off course by a storm to a nearby island. The next year, they made an organized expedition and subsequently founded the nearby larger island of Madeira. Slowly, settlers arrived at the island, and by 1455, the expansion of what kind of plantation? Sugar plantations began. Soon, sugar became the island's primary economy of the island. Well, if you got plantations, you're going to need someone to work the plantation. So very quickly, guess who came there? Black slaves. So were soon used during portions of the island's history to cultivate sugarcane. After the 17th century, as sugar production shifted to Brazil, Sao Tome and Principe, and elsewhere, Madeira's most important product became its wine. So here in Madeira, you got sugar and you got black slaves. Well, they're real close to Africa, aren't they? The Azores Islands. Jews came to the Azores mainly from northern Africa, where they made their fortune trading agriculture products for manufactured goods with England and trading bills of exchange while transporting immigrants to Brazil. The Jews changed the nature of the Azorean economy. They had the trade connections that enabled them to link England, Brazil, Newfoundland with the Azores. They began a banking business that soon had international interest and also developed a maritime transport industry. In the 19th century, the Azores' growing prosperity served as a beacon for North African Jews. Now, the next one. This is Sao Tome Island and Principe Island, and this is Africa. If you find Gabon, you'll find those two islands. It's in the Gulf of Guinea. The two islands of Sao Tome and Principe were uninhabited when they were first discovered by the Portuguese in the year 1470. In 1496, that was the year that they were Inquisition, right? 1496. The King Manuel deported nearly 2,000 Jewish children from the ages of 2 to 10 to the islands of Sao Tome and Principe, which straddles the equator west of Gabon. A year later, only 600 of the children were found alive. Other Jews were sent to the islands who found that the islands were suitable for sugar and cocoa. The cultivation of sugar was a labor-intensive process, and they began to import large numbers of black slaves from the African mainland. Well, Africa's right there. So black slaves starting to go to cultivate the sugar. The next one. Here's Africa. This, the little square there is the Cape Verde Islands. These islands were a Portuguese colony beginning in 1463. Following the Inquisition of 1496, many Jews who were known as Muranos, those were the new people, new Catholics, escaped to Cape Verde Islands. They worked as merchants and as slave traders to the New World. Now we look at South America. Here's the part that blew my mind. Where do you think the Jews went? They basically were kicked out of a lot of Europe countries. But when Columbus came, they discovered all these new lands down here in the Western Hemisphere. Brazil. Brazil is this big yellow place. Colombia, right there. That country. So we got Colombia, Venezuela, Sesimon, and Brazil. That's the four main countries. There were other countries. But let me tell you about Brazil. Many Jews who escaped the Spanish and Portuguese Inquisition went to Holland, as I told you before, in the 1500s and 1600s to establish themselves in the Dutch and English colonies in the New World. They did finally come to Brazil and other places. But Portugal was a small country. In their newfound discovery of Brazil, it did not have the people to provide the necessary help for the sugar plantations that they began to build. Now, Brazil had Native Americans, which they made slaves. But soon, half of them died. The only people who could stand the heat and do the hard work were the blacks. Who set up the triangular trade with blacks, sugar, molasses, rum, and guns? Who was it? White Christians? It was the Jews. That blew my mind. Brazil was the largest slave country in the world. It had almost 10 times the amount of slaves as did the United States. Many Jews went to Brazil where they made their fortune in sugar and tobacco plantations. A Jewish plantation owner in the island of Madeira, which was up in the other close to Portugal, brought the first sugar cane to Brazil in the year 1532. Sugarcane became the foundation of the Caribbean economy for several centuries. Why did they start making sugar plantations? Because sugar from the Far East was way too expensive. Now it became very plentiful. How many black slaves did Brazil bring over? Well, Africa's right over here. A lot shorter trip than it was the United States. 4 million black slaves. 4 million black slaves landed in Brazil. They brought a lot more than that, but they died before they got there. When the Portuguese captured the Dutch city of Recife. Now, Recife is right there. So it was Dutch. The Portuguese captured the Dutch city. The Portuguese had expelled all the Jews. So what happened? The Jews had to leave. Where'd they go? Well, they went to some Caribbean islands, also returned to Amsterdam. But one of the boats was captured by a French pirate who robbed the 23 Jews of all their possessions and took them to the Dutch colony of New Amsterdam. Now, we got Jews, but that's another story. Colombia. The first Jews who came to Colombia was during the 16th century. They came as settlers from Spain who practiced Catholicism. Later, practicing Jews came from Jamaica and Curacao. Now, I'll talk about this little island, this green country right here, Suriname. Groups of Jews began to arrive in the middle of the 17th century. After the Portuguese regained control of northern Brazil, by 1694, 27 years after the British had surrendered Suriname to the Dutch, more Jews arrived. By 1720, the Jews owned 115 plantations and were a large part of the sugar export business. By 1730, this business exported over 21 million pounds of sugar to the Europeans and the New World markets. Their main markets were Colombia and Venezuela. Venezuela's right there. Black slave trading was a major feature of Jewish economic life in Suriname, right there, which was a major stopping off point in the triangular slave trade. Venezuela, right there. Jews came to Venezuela in the middle of the 17th century as new Catholics. Many of these Jews had lived previously in Caracas and Marsabola. Now we're going to talk about the Caribbean islands. The first one is right there, that little island right there. Barchinquique. In 1654, 250 Jews fled Brazil. Why'd they flee Brazil? Because the Portuguese recaptured and drove the Dutch out. Portuguese had the requisition. The Jews had to leave. Some of them came to Martin Q. Then they engaged in what? Sugar plantations. This is by far the most sought-after product in Europe, and the crop soon became Martin Q's biggest export. They used many black slaves to do the sugar plantations. Barbados is right there. Barbados, originally founded by the English in 1627, the colony did not start out as a full-fledged race-based plantation society. The colony had originally a white majority and relied upon a workforce of English indentured servants to grow cotton, sugar, and tobacco. So originally used the biblical principle, have white indentures, they serve for 6 years, then they let loose. But there was called the Dutch West India Company. Did you ever hear that in school? It was founded by who? Jews. You weren't told that. I wasn't. Founded by Jews. What year? 1 year after the Pilgrims settled in America, 1621. They brought race-based plantation slavery from Brazil to this island of Barbados in 1640s, which became the model for the spread of slavery throughout the whole Caribbean islands and for the American South. Now we'll look at Haiti. There's the island. Haiti's one half and Dominican Republic's the other half. Haiti was discovered by Christopher Columbus and his Jewish, converted to Catholicism, interpreter, Luis de Torres. In fact, there was four other Jews who were converted to Catholicism on this ship, his navigators and doctors. Torres spoke Hebrew, because Columbus believed that they would find something on the other side of the world near India. What do you think Columbus thought they would find? The lost 10 tribes of Israel. Whoa, I read that about fellow. Columbus, who was also financed by two Jews, Luis de Sant'Angelo and Gabriel Sanchez, the Tories eventually settled in Haiti and therefore became the first European settler of the New World, except for the ancient Israelites who had came earlier to the New World. There's a side note. Tories named a bird in the Hebrew, Tuki, which we know as turkey. That's where it comes from. Cuba. Columbus went to Cuba. De Torres led an expedition who were warmly greeted by the natives. It was while he was there that they discovered the native custom of smoking. At that meeting, they discovered smoking. Columbus went back to Spain. Luis de Torres was among the 39 men who stayed behind at the settlement founded on the island of Haiti, right there. So Cuban Haiti. So de Torres stayed there. Curacao. The Dutch West India Company had first captured Curacao from Spain in 1634, shortly after the migration of Jews to the island began. In 1651, there were 50 Jewish colonists at Curacao. Many had recently arrived in Holland after fleeing from Portugal's and Spain's inquisitions. Between 1654 and 1656, several Jews from Brazil joined them in Curacao. And there were 70 Jews who came to the island from Amsterdam. It became the black slavery center for a multitude of black slaves that were transported from Africa to many places in the West Indies, South America, and North America. Now, we'll go to the island of Jamaica. There's Cuba, Haiti, and Jamaica. Jamaica was quite a place. What does Jamaica have? All these ships going from around here go right near Jamaica. Well, the Jews fled the Inquisition of Spain and Portugal, and they settled in Jamaica. Some Jews who went to receive Brazil eventually left that city when the Portuguese took it over, and they went to Jamaica. In 1494, Christopher Columbus arrived in Jamaica. Numerous Portuguese Jews first settled in Jamaica during the Spanish colonization, and more came in the year 1530. Jamaica in 1660 was the what? Jews' principal haven in the New World was Jamaica. It had a premier location right in the middle of all the shipping lanes. Jamaica was an ideal base from which to strike at Spanish shipping to revenge the expulsion of the Jews and engage in contraband trade. Jamaica Jews were the major players in both activities, right there. But this came to a conclusion when the great earthquake of 1692 destroyed the port city of Port Royal. So from an infamous pirate capital, Jamaica by 1698 became a sugar island worked by 40,000 black slaves. And after 1713 became the center for slave distribution in the Caribbean islands and in North America. So there, Brazil, Colombia. The Jews are all over this area. Now look at the next one. I never was told this. This red area is the part of Africa where they took the slaves. And over here and over here. How'd they get the slaves? They go over and capture the slaves? Well, no. The blacks, they've had slaves forever. One tribe would have a war with another tribe. They would capture them. And they would bring them, and then they would trade the people on the boat. They would trade them. Rum or guns for the slaves. There were a ton of slaves. They estimate only about one-tenth that went on the boats made it. And they were put side by side. It was horrible. Absolutely deplorable conditions. What the blacks say about their conditions was absolutely true. It was despicable. Look at this. Can you read that number there? Of all the slaves from Africa, how many went to Brazil? 38%. And then the Guyanas, which was Suriname. That's, you read that? 6%. And then up here is how much? 6%. So in South America, Brazil and these two places, 38 plus 6 is 44. 44 plus 6 is 50%. 50% of all the black slaves went to South America. How many went to all these islands in the West Indies? Can you read that number? 42%? 50% here, 42% in the West Indies. 50 plus 42 is 92. How many went to the American South? 4%? 2% went to Mexico and 2% went to Europe. 4% went to the American South. The British West Indies, 42%. 50% in South America. I was never told that. I thought the American South had the vast majority. I was shocked out of my head. The Jews are really doing a job on us. Why? We're not following our God. The Spanish and Portuguese Inquisition forced many Jews to flee the two countries. The most advantageous among the Jews attacked and plundered Spanish fleets while forming alliances with other European powers to ensure the safety of Jews living and hiding in the New World. Now, I'm going to give two examples. I talked about this before, but I'm going to run through it again because it's so important. Two examples of this was Abraham Cohen Herencius, an arms dealer, who used his cunning and economic muscle to find safe haven for Jews, and his brother, Moses Cohen Herencius, who helped plan one of history's largest heists against Spain. Now, he had with him a pilot, who was Admiral Pete Hein, who so hated Spain because for 4 years he was a galley slave upon their ship. What'd they do? These two brothers and Hein boarded Spanish ships off of Cuba. Well, there's Cuba right there. There's Jamaica. They boarded Spanish ships off of Cuba, and they took from the Spanish ships about $1 billion in today's money. It was the biggest theft of money in the world at that time. And you know what it did? It brought the end of the Spanish Empire. You weren't told that either, were you? What did the Jews do with all this money they had got? They hated Spain because they kicked them out. The booty that they got from that, that bankrolled the Jews in Recife, Brazil. And when the Jews fled Recife, that bankrolled them in the Dutch West Indies. The Jews were the main players involved in trading slaves in the New World. They owned the ships. They made large profits in this business. I'm going to read you, pull out some books and stuff. I'm going to read you some quotes. They came with ships carrying blacks to be sold as slaves. The traffic in slaves was a royal monopoly. And the Jews were often appointed as agents for the crown in their sale. They, talking about the Jews, were the largest ship chandlers in the entire Caribbean region, where the shipping business was mainly a Jewish enterprise. The ships were not only owned by Jews, but were manned by Jewish crews and sailed under the command of Jewish captains. That's from this man here's book, Jews and Judaism in the United States, a documentary. Another quote, Jewish merchants played a major role in the slave trade. In fact, in all the American colonies, whether French, British, or Dutch, what kind of merchants frequently dominated? It said Jewish merchants frequently dominated. This was no less true on the North American mainland, where during the 18th century, Jews participated in the triangular trade that brought slaves from Africa to the West Indies and there exchanged them for molasses, which in turn was taken to New England and converted to rum for the sale in Africa. The Jews owned 22 alcohol-processing plants in Newport, Rhode Island. It goes on. Isaac DaCosta of Charleston, the late 1750s, David Franks of Philadelphia in the late 1760s, and Aaron Lopez of Newport in the late 1760s and early 1700s dominated Jewish slave trading in the American continent. That's from Arnold Witzener, Jews in Colonial Brazil, pages 72 and 73. Here's another book. The buyers who appeared at the auction were almost always Jews. And because of their lack of competitors, they could buy slaves at low prices. If it happened that the date of such an auction fell on a Jewish holiday, the auction had to be postponed. That's from the book, A History of the Jews from the Babylonian Exile to the End of World War II. My conclusion. Then why is there a collective white guilt assigned for the black slave trade, but no collective Jewish guilt? Most blacks and most whites do not know it was the Jews who owned the ships and who were the buyers of most of the slaves taken from Africa. They were the majority of owners of slaves in what part of the country? I should say the hemisphere. South America. Why do black Americans and white Americans not know who the primary slave traders and owners were? Farrakhan gave a speech. I'm going to tell you about it later. But he, they looked in the Jewish records and quoted everything from a Jewish writer, scholar, or a rabbi, which taught the very thing I'm teaching you right here. He got really upset by it. They called him in for a meeting. Said, "We want the truth or a lie." The Jews were the merchants of the world. They are the merchants of the world. After they were evicted from England, Spain, Portugal, they became the pirates of the sea. They avenged Spain for their expulsion by stealing billions of dollars of goods and coins from them. With the expulsion of the Jews from many European nations, many of them went to the Caribbean islands. I thought the Caribbean islands were just black people. They're not. They went to the Caribbean islands, and they went to South America. I didn't know a thing about South America, hardly. They became merchants, owned sugar, cocoa, and tobacco plantations, and they were pirates. Their main haven was located at Jamaica. From there, they captured many Spanish ships until they got their revenge. They brought down the power of the Spanish Empire as they captured millions and millions of gold and silver coins that Spain was bringing back to their country from their colonies. Now, we go back to the scripture we read at the beginning of this article. It was about what two people? Jacob and Esau. And they're fighting to the death. Esau has dominion over Jacob. If you don't believe it, a lot of people call our nation ZOG, Zionist Occupied Government. They control it. Look at the advisors President Obama's got. Jew, 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 Jew. But the Bible says, Jacob shall hold the fire and the flame which will burn Esau to death. The Bible also says, it was said unto her, Rebekah, who shall serve who? The younger shall serve the older, or the elder shall serve the younger? Well, it says the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. The Muslim black teacher Louis Farrakhan sent a letter to 16 Jewish organizations asking a question about reparations for all the slave trading that the Jews had been responsible for over the ages. He did this because the Jews have received reparations from Germany for the Holocaust. He figured the blacks are entitled to a lot more reparations, for there were over seven times the number of slaves transported from Africa than the even supposed 6 million Holocaust victims. Have you ever wondered why Negroes blame white Christians for slavery? Well, the biggest offenders were their own fellow Negroes. They captured them, brought them to them, and sold them for them. Jews and Muslims. What's the solution? Make sure we are obedient to the laws that our God gave to his covenant people. A good start would be what the Icelanders have done. That's the tribe of Benjamin. They made all of their congressmen do what? Quit. They made them all quit. And they fired their international bankers. Most of the Jewish bankers fled the land in fear. They're gone. Iceland refused to bow to foreign interests that the small country stated loud and clear that the people were not going along with the mistakes of its former bankers. Maybe that's why it's not covered on ABC, NBC, CBS. It's not on the news. At least it's a good beginning. The Jew isn't supposed to be here. He's our old ancient enemy. He hated us and wanted to kill us. We're supposed to hate him. One of the two is not going to survive. Who does God say is going to win the battle? He says we are. And that's the only reason. We, an undeserved, terrible people who don't even know who our God is going to win this war. Blessed be the Lord God of Esau. The Lord God of Jacob Israel. Amen.